Wake up, everybody, no sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. World's changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty.
Peace, shalom, and Hotep fam. This is your girl once again, T. Makia Zariah, affectionately known to everyone as Queen T. And I welcome you to yet another broadcast of Zariah Speaks. I am your host, as I said before, T. Makia Zariah. And I also have on with me our co-host, Brother Dawa Bain Yisrael. You there, brother?
Yes, indeed I am, sis.
Hey. Okay, we are so glad that you all followed us from one station to another. So I say to you all, again, welcome. And we have a very hot show for you today. We're going to get right into it. But first, let me give you the premise of the show that I have to do every week, and that is to provide a radio show that focuses on empowering Black men and women to step up to success in their families, their spirituality, their businesses, and their communities around the world. Our main focus is our Black community. That is our main focus. So, and there's no doubt that, you know, all communities can benefit from what they hear on this show, but our main focus is our community, okay? And so we plan to continue to bring to you a new flavor in radio, a forum that is designed with our listeners in mind. And I just want to remind everyone that we love feedback. We love feedback. So please, if you have any ideas, topics, or suggestions for our show, please contact us at ZariahSpeaks.com. That's ZariahSpeaks.com. With that being said, I want to bring my co-host in here. Again, peace, Brother Dawa.
Peace, sister. Peace.
Well, this is our first show together, and this is our new day. So we want to go ahead and get started with that. But I know that you and I was talking about this being our first show together. So we want to just kind of dig right into it before we bring on we got a very special guest that's coming on. But before we bring them on, we want to kind of, I guess we want to tell the people how we met, huh?
Yeah, I think that'd be a good idea, I wrote a book called The Definition of a Broke Ass. And I'm here in Chicago, and the sister, Queen T, is in Arizona. So we're definitely in two different parts of the globe here. Same United States, but still two different parts, way apart from one another. And I just wanted to tell how we connected, because it's very vital and key to what we're trying to do here. I do believe that the ancestors will do things for us on our part. Some of us just have to open up to that which they wish to do, because there really is no death. There's just an absence from this physical life, and then we go to someplace else to continue to live and to communicate with those that are receptive to listening to us. Mm-hmm. So the sister's father passed into the other realm of life. And that drew her back to the city of Chicago. She went to a bookstore on 87th and Stony Island, Brother Yoel's bookstore called Underground Bookstore. And they was having a conversation, and the brother, the owner of the store, Brother Yoel, pulled out my book.
Right.
And the book intrigued his sister, and she turned the book to the back of the book. She saw a picture of me, and she wondered at that time, was she and I Facebook friends? Now, she had sent me a Facebook request some time before, but we never really connected on anything
right.
other than just becoming accepting Facebook friends. So
right.
She went back to figure out, she said, this is like a guy I know. I think he's my Facebook friend, and found out, yes, I was that individual. Brother Dawa, whom she had sent the request to, and we got connected that particular way. So out of what we consider to be a sad thing in death, sprung forth a new life and a new relationship between the sister and myself. I do believe that her father led her to that particular place to get that book to connect with me so we can do what we are supposed to do here on this side of life. So
yes.
Out of that came a new relationship, and that's what we're trying to build here, relationships or family-oriented. This is a family-oriented show, and that's what we're trying to do, build the relationship of the so-called black or indigenous family once again upon this earth.
Right, right. And that is the reason why we're doing this, because we do believe in building the families. Now, when we say we're rebuilding the families, the truth is we have to bring out everything. There can be no holds barred to family issues, things that's going on within the black community, because we are, instead of us going, you know, we're going the right way, it's like we're going backwards in a sense. And so we just need to figure out what it is that we are doing wrong as black people. We have to realize that we are a certain group of people that need certain things, and there's a certain way that we do things. But when we go outside of that and do what other people are doing, we end up taking on what I call maybe an affection. It may not be an affection to someone else, but to our people, it's an infection. So we're going to be dealing, especially for the full month of July, I know we're going to be dealing with family issues. We're going to continue to talk about polygamy. We're going to talk about, I think it's called polyamory. Is that what that is? I always get the pronunciation. Okay, we're going to be dealing with that. We're going to be dealing with just a whole lot of different things that people don't want to talk about. Molestation in the home, not just by the father, but the mother too. We're talking about in the black family. You know, we're rebuilding a black nation. So these things we have to talk about. So with that being said, I guess we just bring our guest in here now, and I'm going to do a quick introduction let me start with the sister. Okay, and her name is Kenya K. Stevens, and she is an author. Well, she does a lot of things, but I'm going to tell you she's an author of a book called Change Your Man. And we also have on the phone her husband, Carl, and he is the author of the book Tame Your Woman. Now, first of all, I'd like to welcome both of you to the show. Hello, you there? Okay.
Hey, Queen, we're on. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. This is Carl.
Oh, hello, King. Okay, I don't know what happened to Kenya, but we'll get her back here. But thank you so much for joining us, and I know your schedule is tight, so let's just dig right into it. And actually, I'm going to kind of turn you over to my co-host, because we really want to bring you on and, first of all, talk about what you do, who you are, and what you do, because a lot of people probably still don't know. You know, they probably watch the Monique show and different things like that, but they don't know who you are and what you do. So can you kind of give that to me?
Yeah, basically, Kenya and I, we're both love coaches. We operate a company called Juju Mama, which basically is a company that's designed to help empower people around relationships, you know, spiritual growth and development, that kind of thing. So we started the business back in 2005. We've been going strong ever since. And, you know, we try and touch on all the major life areas that are important. So relationships, sexuality, you know, finances, how to create the life that you want, those kinds of things.
Okay, okay. Yes, your wife is quite interesting. as I was going through and looking at a lot of things that she's doing in her Facebook and everything, you know, you know, both of you are quite busy. Now, the reason why I want to bring you on the show is because, well, first of all, like I said previously, you know, that this is we are really focusing on the black community. I know that you, both of you, deal with all ranges of people, and that's fine. But I'm just saying, for what we're doing here, we want to discuss different issues, maybe solutions, issues and solutions within the black family. And since we're dealing with relationships, we thought it was quite interesting that, and if I'm wrong, you know, please correct me, but what you do as you're living the life that you're living, you're kind of living a polyamory life. Would that be correct to say, or?
Yeah, it's called polyamory.
Okay. Okay. Polyamory.
Yeah,
okay. Okay. I've been trying to practice it, but I can't get it right.
And to be honest, when we look at our relationship, Queen, we look at it from the standpoint of what we call progressive love, because we don't really condone any relationship structure or institution, because that's not the point, right? Okay. If you're a mature adult, if your masculinity is balanced, if your femininity is balanced, it doesn't matter what kind of relationship you have. It could be monogamy, polygamy, polyandry, whatever. You know what I'm saying? So the point is not so much, or the solution is not in the structure. The solution is in your approach to, you know, the purpose of relating and understanding who you are and how you need to be in a relationship, right? And understanding what your purpose is on the planet. If you have that stuff in order, then you'll be successful in any kind of relationship structure. So people look at Kenya and I and say, oh, you guys are in an open marriage, and that's true, but that's not a solution for, you know, the relationship issues we have in the Black community. The Black community needs to get past certain things in terms of how they look at sexuality, you know, the very conservative nature that we have as a people that's been handed down to us from other, you know, cultures and religions. And yes, once we get past those things and be okay with ourselves, we'll start to see more success in our communities.
Okay. May I ask you, for the listeners, how long have you two been married?
Well, I just popped on the line. I missed the introduction.
Oh, there she is. Hey, sis. Welcome back.
How are you?
Is this Queen Dory? I'm wonderful. We were waiting on you, but I was just asking, and we're going to get to you so you can say your part, but your husband was explaining to us, you know, what you do, your love coaches, and, you know, the different things that you do, but I was asking, how long have you two been married?
It'll be 17 years this August.
17? Wow. Yeah. Okay, so let me ask you this. Has this, you know, we're talking about, let me get help with the word now. Polyamory?
That's
correct.
Is
that right? Yay, I got it. Yay, okay.
You got it.
So,
you nailed it.
If I keep on, I get it. But, you know, in terms of that, have you always felt like this from the beginning of the marriage or no?
No. When we first got married, we were monogamous. So it was just Kenya and myself. We have been exposed to other relationship styles like polygamy or polygyny, but we were monogamous when we got married, and we stayed that way for about 12 years before we actually opened our marriage.
Oh, 12. Okay. So, wow. So I guess we want to know, well, Dawa and I was talking, we were trying to, I'm always trying to understand everything. Now, I'm down for polygyny. But I don't know about the other. But that's, everybody has their own perspective of what they want to do. So I understand that. But I'm just trying to figure out how could that, do you see the lifestyle, and if you mind if I can just say open marriage, I don't have to keep trying to fight with the word. If you have a lifestyle
of open
marriage, okay, thank you. If you have a lifestyle of open marriage, how do you see it fitting in, or not to say fitting in, but how do you see it maybe helping with this rate that we have now with all of this quote-unquote infidelity? We have a very high divorce rate and things like that. How do you see open marriage fitting into let's say a Black nation or African village? How about that? How do you see that fitting in?
Right. Well, the open marriage concept would be very helpful for the African village, and here's why. Because when you look at the history of human beings and the history of Africans, what the predominant mindset was egalitarian. Egalitarian basically means that we shared everything. We shared food, we shared housing, we shared everything. We also shared sexuality. So, you know, we have a lot of hang-ups in Western culture around sexuality. We believe we own things. We believe that we own people, and that we have a right to somebody else's sexuality. And we also demonize other people's sexuality. So, for example, men often demonize women about their sexuality. If they've had too many, partners, then women are often demonized or called names, etc. So the good thing about an open marriage means that you're past the ownership mentality of sexuality, that you don't think that you own another human being. You also get past the thing of jealousy. One of the main issues that we have is that people are actually still jealous, which is a childhood emotion. So if my wife or my husband or whatever, you know, gets some attention from somebody else, I might feel angry or upset, or I might feel vulnerable or something like that. And we want to get past those types of things. So So a lot of the relationship structures we have today are built up to protect our insecurities and our negative emotion patterns. So when you talk about like monogamy or like polygyny, right? So, but when you talk about open marriage, which basically says we're okay with our sexuality as human beings, we're beyond jealousy, we're beyond, you know, fear of you know, losing something that we don't own, then that really eliminates a lot of the pettiness that we see right now in the black community. You see what I'm saying? So that's a good thing for it. But let me say this, Queen, that before you even get into the open paradigm, you got to get into the progressive paradigm. The progressive love paradigm, which Kenny and I talk about with our company, Juju Mama, talks about the purpose for relating, which is understanding that the purpose for relationships are growth and development first. It's not for your happiness. It's not so you can be happy and have what you want or have kids. That's not the purpose for relationships. The purpose is that you're going to grow from this. You're going to come into your higher spirituality from this. And you're going to understand that there's no victims and villains. Nobody's doing anything to you. You know, there's no shaming and blaming in relationships. We're not going to feel shameful for our sexuality. We're not going to blame our partner because they did X, Y, and Z, and we feel like we're victimized. We're getting out of that mindset. And also the mindset of copping out and dropping out. The mindset that if something's not going my way in a marriage or in a relationship, I'm just going to go ahead and leave this person. Or I'm going to drop out emotionally and mentally. Like, I'll be there because of the kids, but just not participate. So we got to get past these childhood beliefs and behavior patterns that we have as African people who've accepted somebody else's culture and get into a more mature adult mindset. And once we get there, then everything, a lot of the issues that we have that you see in relating in our communities will disappear.
Okay. You know what? And a lot of that I can agree with. A lot of that I can agree with. I would like to, before I get to you, sister, I'm just trying to, I know your husband's on a tight schedule. I'm just trying to get all I can out of him before he has to go. But I would like to, Dawah, brother, Dawah, you come in. Do you have anything to say to what he just said?
Yeah, first of all, let me say peace to you, brother.
Peace, brother, peace.
Yeah, I can agree with some of what I just heard as well. But I have a question for you, brother. How do you go about the choosing of a male that you will to have a relationship with the wife? Do you choose? Does she choose? What's the process? Is there any certain criteria or what? How did you come to the place of allowing your wife to be intimate with another male?
Well, I allow her to choose, right? So, because that's a very personal thing, like, you know, who you open yourself up to as a woman, you know, who you allow into your temple is a very personal thing. And really only a woman knows who she wants in that place at what time. And see, women are very dynamic. You know, like when you unleash, you know, the gods within a woman, she's very dynamic and she's going to desire what she desires, and she, you know, a man really can't really tell her what she's going to need. Like, even if she wants a particular man today, you know, next week or next year or whatever, she might not have the same desire or feeling for him, and that's okay, you know, because women are very creative and they need that inspiration. So it's really up to her. Now, as a man, I can help her with the men that she chooses, you know, in terms of, you know, making sure they understand that, hey, we're a family, this is a marriage, we're not breaking up, she's not trying to leave me, you know, we have children, like, you know, there is a whole thing, a foundation that's set, you know what I'm saying? So I can help out with that. You know, the man can know that there's a man here that's looking out for her best interests. There are other men involved in the situation because we do have our own community that we like to call the extended family. So, yeah, making the men aware so they understand the landscape. But outside of that, no, she can choose who she wants to be with.
Okay. One more question, and I'll just pass the microphone back to Queen T. Where, or have you found anywhere in our ancestry where this was the norm?
What you find that's the norm is if you go back from today and go back 10,000 years plus, you'll see that monogamy never existed and polygamy never existed, right? Those structures come into place those are patriarchal structures that come into place when we talk about the ownership of land. And they came about due to agriculture. So basically, based on archaeology, based on, you know, historical studies, researchers have found that all human beings, prior to 10,000 years ago, and even today, but prior to 10,000 years ago, were egalitarian in nature, and they shared everything, including their sexuality. So a monogamy is a fairly new paradigm when you look at the history of the human race, especially the history of African people, right? Monogamy is a structure that's really based on the ownership of a person, and the reason why is to ensure paternity, so that when you, as a woman, have children, I know that that child is mine, and that when I die, that they will get my land and possessions. I can ensure that. So if I keep my woman in the house and prevent her from being sexual with other men, I know that all I've worked for all my life will be passed down to my blood, my genes. And that's where monogamy came from. Outside of that, monogamy really has no place, and it's not something that's natural in terms of who we are as biological human beings.
Hmm. Okay. So, I'm sorry, but I guess I thought I was going to pass it up, but that's kind of interesting. So
that's right. Come on with it.
You say that polygyny is, that didn't exist either 10,000 years ago in our culture.
No, it didn't exist in any culture. There's no hard, fast evidence that polygyny existed beyond 10,000 years ago. Polygyny, again, it comes out of a patriarchal, predominantly Western mind state. So you'll find it very heavy in religion. You used to find it heavy in Christianity. You still find it very heavy in Islam. And that's kind of where it's born from. It's a patriarchal thing. Remember, you know, African people historically tend to be more balanced. So there was either a balance of the matriarchal and patriarchal concepts of relating, or we were more matriarchal because the family concept itself and community itself is a feminine concept. Community is feminine. It's owned by the woman. Family is feminine. It's owned by the woman. Men are basically and historically protectors of community. We're protectors of family. So, you know, when you talk about family, you're talking about, you know, matriarchal structures, you know, things that women ran. And one thing that men knew back in the day is that you just don't mess with a woman's choice in terms of how she feels and lives her life, because men are very structured in how we approach life, how we live life. We need that. We need a resume. We need discipline, those types of things. Women are the opposite. They need stimulation. They need, they need inspiration. So women were always allowed to live the life that they wanted to live, which included the selection of their sexual partners, which included how they related with their sisters, you know, and how they raised their family. Men basically didn't really even touch that area. We just protected the nucleus of it. But there's no physical evidence you can find that polygamy existed beyond the advent of agriculture and the ownership mindset that Western man has brought us.
Does that include homosexuality as well? What I mean by that, are we talking about
homosexuality?
No, I'm asking, since you're talking about that, you know, being everybody's being open and free to do their, you know, do whatever they want to do in their sexuality. I was asking, since we were talking about the African village, does that include homosexuality as well?
Well,
in other words, can your wife go and be with another woman? That's what I'm asking.
Well, the answer to that question is yes. If she chooses to do that, then that's her choice. You know, as an adult, as a responsible woman, she's able to do that. But let's understand the background around homosexuality and lesbianism. If you look at today's culture and kind of judge it, then you won't really get a good look at what we're actually talking about here. Historically, again, men were not scared to be intimate with a man. Like today, a man won't even hug a man, or, you know what I'm saying, or, you know, men won't touch each other in a certain way, especially in America. If you go to Africa today, then you'll see, like, an adult male, and he'll hold the hand of his 14-year-old son walking down the road. Like, there's a certain level of intimacy that we're not even comfortable with here in the West. So intimacy between men has always been there. Now, when you look at homosexuality today, you're seeing something that's way extreme. And I'm not judging it as wrong, but when you suppress sexuality in a culture, you're going to see it come forth in like a lot of different ways, like molestation of children, pornography, you know, extreme sexual stuff, you know, around homosexuality, around lesbianism, around heterosexuality. Like, you know, you see things like monogamy, like the locking down of another human being or the ownership of their genitals. You know what I'm saying? Like, you see these extremes. So, yeah, so this for the historical context, you know, were men intimate back in the day? Yes. Was it like a full-blown out sexual thing like you see today? From what I understand, no, it wasn't like that. And the same thing with women. Now, but women's a different story. Women are more sexual in nature, so they tend to naturally go a little bit further when it comes to sexuality, intimacy with other women. Like, that's more of a natural thing. But it still doesn't look like you might see today with, you know, like the lesbian community, from my standpoint, tends to be very closed. It's more of a heterosexual-looking relationship, you know, where one woman is very insecure about her partner being out and about without her or getting attention or whatever. But anyway, long story short, yes, my wife can be with who she wants to be. I'm not going to judge that. I'm still going to support her and love her no matter what she chooses. And homosexuality today looks a lot different than intimacy between men did back in the day.
Okay. Wow. Did you have some more questions, Dawa, before I move on?
Yeah, I'd like to ask the brother. So then that means that goes for you, too. If you wanted to be with a male, you could do the same thing, and it'd be all right with the wife.
Yeah, if I chose to be with a male, I think the big thing with that in today's society is if I chose to do that, I would have to talk to my wife about it and make sure she feels comfortable beforehand. You know, if she chose to be with a woman, she would talk to me about it beforehand. You know, like, again, today it's a whole different landscape. You got to look at sexuality a little bit different than we ever have before in our history. We look at why we tend to do certain things around sexuality. You know, like, if I were to explore homosexuality, the question would be, why would I want to explore that? You know, not that it's wrong and get into judgment, but I think it would be important to understand it, you know what I'm saying? So that would be a whole discussion in our household and really trying to understand before we went down that path.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let me get this straight, and I'm going to bow out and let Queen T take it from here and let the sister get into the conversation, your wife, that is. So you are saying, and I want to make sure I got this correct, you are saying that homosexuality is not wrong, in your opinion?
Well, what I'm saying is I'm not going to judge it.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. The concept of right and wrong comes from modern-day religion. So we never had that concept. You know, if you study African culture, there's very little judgment of things or of people. You know, we understand everything is God. Everything is a manifestation of the divine. So we wouldn't dare say this is wrong because we're saying something about us is wrong and something about God is wrong. Everything that you see on the planet is a manifestation of the divine and is a part of us, and we are related to it. So the speaker for me, I'm just not judging it. You know, I would never say it's wrong. But I also wouldn't say it's right. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is.
All right. Well, let me go ahead and invite callers. You can call in if you want to get in on the conversation. Toll free is 888-627-6008. Or you can call us direct at 530-327-7602. Get in on the conversation. Wow. Okay, Carl, you know what? I want to, because we only got 30 minutes left. We got to get the sister in here. But I want you to very quickly talk about your book. let's see, what's your book called? Taming the Woman or something like that? You're talking about taming some women.
Yeah.
What is that? What does that mean?
My book is called Tame Your Woman, Become the Man She Needs. And the book is basically saying that men need to tame their inner woman. And how you know you need to tame your inner woman is by how women are functioning with you in your life. So we know how men are raised. Men are raised to suppress their masculinity and basically be women. Because we're raised in single-parent households, 70%+ of African-American children are raised in a single-parent household, et cetera. So men are not really taught to be men. We're not taught to express our masculinity. And what happens is when we become adults, when we start relating, you know, with women, we bring our feminine out. We bring that woman out, and she ends up interfering with our relationship. Because what really needs to take place is our masculine nature needs to come to the forefront to address a lot of the issues we see in relationships. But we haven't been trained to do that. So my book talks about how men can tame that woman, can get his inner woman under control, and bring his masculinity forward. That's what the book is about.
Okay. And you know, I was sitting here thinking, as you was talking about that, even with just the whole conversation that we had last few 30 minutes, just like I always say that polygamy, even though I believe in polygamy, again, this is just my belief, I think that we have, by us having a westernized mind, it's a hard thing for both. I mean, it's hard to put that to a westernized mind without it being corrupted, because it's going to be handled the wrong way, I believe. But I do want to ask that question to your wife when I get to her about, you know, how do we do this when it comes to our young girls who are already out there, you know, doing what they do. But then we put it out there that, you know, you are the queen, you're the goddess, which I believe that, because I believe I am as well. But how do we put that out there for the few who are trying to hold on? And then we tell them, no, go be free. I mean, what does that do to our African girls? I'm asking you now, Kenya, and welcome to the show again.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, I didn't know if you were asking him or me. What does it do to African girls to tell them to be free? Let's ask this question first. What does it do to African girls to tell them that good girls don't? To tell them that the most natural function in the world, sex, is not something that you should enjoy. It's not something that you should relish in. It's something that will make you a slut. It will make you a halt. And we tell the girl, don't give it up. Well, the last time I checked, sex was a receiving. When I have sex, a man is giving it up, and I am receiving.
Okay.
Yes, last time I checked. So I'm asking you that question to juxtapose what you just asked me. So I tell my daughter to be free. I tell my daughter that she is a goddess. She is a queen. She will magnetize beautiful men. She will magnetize kings. She will magnetize men who will protect her, who will provide resources, who will support her. And so that's what she does. That is what she will do. I'd rather
have that. Hold on. Somebody's pushing the buttons. Somebody's pushing the phone buttons. So let's make sure don't push the... Okay. Because we couldn't hear what you were saying.
I'd rather have her know that she's magnetizing all of these wonderful warriors to protect her and to take care of her, than to tell her that, oh my gosh, some biblical teaching about if she is free with her sensuality, that somehow she is a demon, Eve with the apple, a slut, a whore. I don't believe in that. There's no goddess on the planet who, in extending herself sensually, should be thought of as some type of whore. So,
now, I do agree with you, sis. I do agree with you. I didn't mean to cut you off, but I do agree with you that we need to stop teaching our girls, demonizing it. I do believe that. I don't think we should be teaching them that it's an ugly thing, you know, because that's a part of us. We're sexual beings. I understand that. So, but I'm talking about that even though now that we're in the situation that we have been westernized. So is that... Well, maybe that's what you do it, you know, at Jumama. You teach girls or you teach women how to get that mindset, because it's a mindset change. Don't you agree? You have to change your mind from the westernized way, because they're already out there doing what they do. But then if we come along on the same mindset, then they really, to me, it's like, or are we supposed to do what we want to do? Just do, you know, just do whoever.
Is that we teach girls. I taught millions of women.
Okay.
The purpose of sex. Sex is has two purposes: healing and manifestation. A woman's womb, she has two wombs. She has a psychic womb and she has her physical womb. In her psychic womb, a man can plant a seed just as he would plant a seed into her physical womb. That psychic womb is going to take that seed. Let's say the man wants a new business, a car, a better home for the family. He can plant that seed in her womb and she can give birth to that manifestation into reality. So my daughter not only understands that she can be free, and that she can, through her freedom, attract the right people. But she understands the purpose of sex, so she's not just going to be frivolous. Free is not frivolous.
Okay.
Free is talking about your mindset. It's talking about you understand the purpose of this interaction. You understand the sacredness of this meditative act called sex. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Okay. I got that. That's pretty good. That's pretty good, because that makes more sense, because we're not teaching them to go out there and just be free for all. You have to have, again, back to what I just said, your mindset has to be, you know, ready for that type of teaching. And like I said, again, I don't believe in you just free for all, or not free for all, but being suppressed, because out of suppression, a lot of things do come out, you know, with the pedophiles and things like that, because of, not saying that's 100%, but that's most of it. It comes from suppressed, you know, sexually. But let me ask you this. Won't you tell us something about your book that you wrote?
My book is called Change Your Man, and it's about the idea of women changing their inner man. A lot of women have an inner man who is out of control. You know, we are control freaks. We want to boss our men around. We want to be the king of the household. Hello?
We're here. I thought I heard somebody say amen, but I don't know.
Oh, I have your studio calling me on the other line for some reason. But anyways, women want to go ahead and lead, you know, and they don't trust their men to lead. They don't want to, and that's me. That's how I was in my relationship. And my relationship almost ended in divorce because I just didn't trust him. You know, I'm like, I'm smarter than him. I can make up these decisions. I don't have to listen to him. And, you know, basically whatever. That was how I was in my early 20s. I got married when I was 21. So I did not know how to be a wife. I didn't know how to be a lover. I didn't know how to be a mother.
You had a penis.
You know, I didn't know the purpose of sex. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I want to get this in because you said this, I saw this on Monique, and I was rolling. You said you had a penis, or you thought you had a penis. How did you say that? Were you talking about you were being you was the man back then?
I was the man. I was raised to be a man in schools and in my home. You know, any girl that you tell to suppress their sexuality, they have to start to be in control. You know, you have to, if you tell a girl, look, boys, be independent. They're not going to take care of you. They're not going to do this. You can't be giving up your pussy to them. You're not going to be the, you know, then that trains men. You're training a little man. So she's going to be on guard. And that's what my book is about, how to get off guard, back to your femininity, back to your water and your moisture. Most women can't even get wet during sex. They have to use some type of jelly or lotion. You're supposed to be naturally wet. You're supposed to be naturally womb free of fibroids. Your body's supposed to naturally be healing illness. But we can't do that if we are behaving as men. And so that's what my book is about.
Okay. It's with everything that you and your husband do is quite interesting, because like I said before, I'm always looking for ways that so we can reconnect as Black people, ways that we can start rebuilding the nation, you know, because people think that we never was a nation before. They don't understand the rebuilding of the nation. And I just, you know, I'm open-minded. I try to understand whatever it is that you can bring to the table. And that's what I'm trying to understand. That's why we're doing this show. You know, we heard about you. We were interested in what you were talking about doing. And, you know, I don't know if you, Dawa and myself, you know, we believe in polygyny. So we're both trying to understand this, but so I want to ask Dawa, do you have any questions? Or you have anything you want to say?
Yeah, I have
Well, before
a question.
Dawa, Can I say one thing before you ask me, Brother Dawa? Nice to meet you, by the way. We're not going to rebuild any nation if we're rebuilding on Western concepts. There's no way to do it. We were an egalitarian community. We did not believe in ownership of people. So if we're bringing any of that into a rebuilding process, Einstein says you cannot fix a problem with the same mindset that created it. So if we're bringing any of that thinking into something quote unquote new, it's not new at all. But I would love to hear your question, Brother Dawa.
Yeah, question is, how do you deal with, let's say, the other male or other males that you encounter or deal with? How do you deal with children? If they want to have a baby or a child with you, how does that work? Do they have to get in line, because a woman can only produce and hold a child for 9 months, and the other guy have to wait? So does that come into play, or is this about, Is there anywhere in this for children, and how does it work?
Absolutely. Yes, I have 3 children, and I love to have many more. My body is very fertile, and I want children from many of my partners. First of all, I don't really go with men who are only with me. I appreciate a man who has enough power, enough energy, enough fortitude, enough vitality to, secure several women. And who loves all women. So any man that I would be with loves all women, wants to secure all women, wants to secure all children. So he wouldn't have to wait in line. There are several wombs. I can name 10 women who are my friends who want to have a baby, been dying to have a baby, So he can, if he does not, if I am pregnant at the time and he wants to, plant his seed and have a baby, he should be able to do that with any woman in the community. Paternity is Western. The idea that we know whose baby this is, that's a Western concept. The African people, the baby belongs to the whole community. It belongs to every adult. It does not belong to one man. The bloodline did not pass down through the man. So, this whole idea is backwards. What I would like to see is a community where all women love all men. All men love all women. All adults love all children. That's something new that will take us back to what was. Anything else is taking us back to just under 10,000 years ago when patriarchy came onto the planet.
Hmm. Well, you know what? I tell you what, I'll say it again that it's very interesting because I believe in polygyny. And I believe it for the reason of it has nothing to do with sex for me. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like sex. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is I look at it as me personally, I don't have the mindset to, go sleep with who I want to sleep with. So really, it's not for everybody. It's not just like a person who is listening to us now who don't believe in either one. And they say we both crazy. So, it's the same thing. But it's not a religious thing for me. It's not biblical for me. It's more of I see the need as far as we have so many women who don't have baby daddies. We have all this going on. We have so many single women out there. And that's for that reason alone is why I believe in polygyny. If I didn't see that need, I personally would not want to be sharing. But because I see a need for it. I want to ask you again, like I think I asked your husband earlier, that I think he's already gone. But the whole act of polygyny, I'm sorry, the whole act of open marriage. Mm-hmm. Let's say we all do this. Everybody's out doing what they want to do. Can we handle that as a westernized group of people? Can we handle that? Or is it going to get out of, it's already crazy, sis. You know it and I know it. But is it going to get worse if we just go ahead and train people to, and respectfully so, you said you teach your daughter, how to have her own mind and things like that. And I don't have any problem with that. But do you think that we would be able to handle this as a westernized group of people?
Oh, my goodness, absolutely. What you're asking me is, would we be able to handle our being divinely human? Human beings are not monogamous, not the women, not the men. monogamous species don't have sperm in their spermicide. Men have created sperm in their spermicide for over 150,000 years. Why is that? They created spermicide in their sperm because women have always had more than one man's sperm in her uterus. If she didn't, then men would not need spermicide in their sperm. This proves that humans have never, not the men or the women, been monogamous. Number two, monogamous species do not have pendulous breasts or penises that go on the outside of the body. Monogamous species have penises that are on the inside. Have you ever seen a gorilla's penis?
I can't say that I have. This is a tiny penis.
This is a tiny set of balls because they're not needed. They're only having sex with this particular woman. Monogamous species live separate from one another. They don't live in large social units like human beings. Monogamous species only mate when the woman is in her fertile period. Now, when's the last time that you told your husband, no, I can only have sex with you once a month when fertile? We're not a monogamous species, not the women, not the men. So what you're asking is if we train human beings to honor their divinity, their natural selves again, and how to do that, and how does that look, and initiate them into their God self. Will it work? The answer is yes. As long as we're not doing that, then we're going to be living as divine humans anyway, having sex with whom we want, as we are now.
I would like to ask Brother Dawa to kind of address that same question I just gave to the sister. Do you think polygyny will work? Or do you think that this is something that we maybe will look into or just open ourselves up to it? You know, what do you feel at this point from all that has been said here?
Well, I'm listening. You asking me?
Right. Yes, yes.
Okay,
well, like I said, I'm listening to everything that the brother said. I was listening to everything that the sister said thus far. But I'm just having an issue or problem with it being said, and I haven't did the research, and I will do the research, but I've never known that we just basically did who we wanted to, when we wanted to, and that was acceptable. I never heard that polygyny was a Western thought process. As a matter of fact, it's not even accepted in the West. As far as I know, polygyny is accepted in the Eastern part of the world. Now, I hear that it may have came through the patriarchy, or, you know, I believe in a balanced society. I don't believe in a matriarchal society or a patriarchal society. I believe in a balance between the two, like a positive and a negative, with a battery or whatever to get a current or a charge, or to get some electricity to get something to move. I do believe in both of the two. I don't believe in either one being the master of the other. I believe that male and female have to work together. I've never heard this before, that this is a new concept. I never heard that we just, like I said, we basically, it sounds to me, with no disrespect, it sounds to me as if we were just having orgies. Maybe with a little bit more structure, but it's like, okay, if I want to be with her, fine. If she wants to be with him, fine. That's what I'm getting. I don't really see any type of structure. And the brother said men think structurally. And I do believe that I have original blood, type O blood, the original, the first blood that was ever put on the planet, according to science and scientists. And I believe that the DNA of the first people, our people that is, upon the planet, runs through my veins. But I've never seen a place where this open marriage fits into my genetic code of thinking. I just don't see how it would actually assist us in the rebuilding of a situation or a family today, especially when there's no structure that speaks to any type of judgment of anything. I don't see how you're going to be a God body or God mind, if you want to use that word, without putting things in perspective. Because if you can't judge a situation sexually, you can't really judge anything, period. So how do you correct a child when a child is wrong if there is no mindset of a parent
on Advil to put some judgment in there to correct the situation. So I just don't see how it's going to actually fit to rebuild the situation that we're dealing with right now. To me, we already live in this way.
Well, that is, those points are very, very valid. The idea of judgment, however, in the Western concept, judgment comes from without. In our concept, judgment comes from within. We build judgment into people, supporting people in becoming the responsible party in their life. For instance, if my son comes home and says, my teacher was being mean to me, I say, oh, no, 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 no. You create your life. You're the center of your universe. I'm not going to judge your teacher for what your teacher is doing. I'm going to ask you to tell me how you created that. Why are you creating a scenario where you feel uncomfortable with that person? It's just a shift in mindset. The inner judge, the inner Tehuti, the inner wisdom is what was cultivated in our societies, which is why we didn't need a police force. which is why we didn't need certain things to keep everybody in line, because judgment wasn't coming from without. It only was a structure from within, and you become the center. You are the king and the queen of your life. When something goes down in the village, we sit everybody down and say, well, how did you two create this? What's going on? You're the author of everything that happens to you and through you. So I just wanted to give you a little key on judgment and how we went about that. But another thing that you mentioned was the idea of what is the structure. I don't understand what's complex about a structure where all women nurture all men. All men protect and serve all women. And all adults are responsible for all children. That seems like a very, very simple and reasonable and profoundly accurate based on who we are structure. So I'd like to have your comment on that.
Well, I heard you, and I heard it before, and I heard that structure, but I still, it doesn't register as being that simple. I think that that's very complex. It may sound simple, the way you explain it, but it's complex in the way it is acted out. Because basically we're doing that today, and men are shooting and killing men when they find men with their lady. I just don't actually see a way that this is going to build our families again. Like I said, I have never heard before that this was the norm with our people. Like I said, I never knew that polygyny was a so-called Western culture, because I don't see it in the West today.
It came through the Arab slave trade. It came through the Arab mind into our culture. It does not originate in the African mind. African mind does not have a structure that would say what a woman does with her vagina somehow is a reflection of my manhood. That comes from a mind of a man who doesn't feel comfortable in his manhood. If he needs to let this woman know what to do with her vagina in order to feel like a father, in order to feel like a husband. Men are born fathers, born husbands, born strong. Women are born nurturing, born supportive, born sensual, born magical. We're not here to validate the other. We're each here to individually live our destiny and to bring that talent to the community. I'll tell you a story about one of my past lives. I was in Kemet, and this was 25,000 years ago. And I was a healer. And what my temple did when the men came back from, now we're fighting wars with other people who were outside of our context. And we knew that these wars would make these men insane. So when these men came back, before they could go back to their particular community, where they had lovers and children and brothers, they came to our temple. And we made love with them until they were sane again, until every iota of violence was out of them. And we did rituals over them while making love. We poured water over them while making love. It was a beautiful occupation. and then we sent them back into their particular 150-piece community where they could love any of the women and where all of the men could, you understand, feel safe and cared for, and the children as well. So that was Kemet 25,000 years ago.
Wow. Well, you know what, sister? We got about 3 minutes left, and I want you to tell the people how to reach you.
Absolutely. You can reach me by going to our website, Jujumama, JUJUMMAMA.com. And what we do is talk. You hear my voice is gone. We have audios, videos. I'm a writer. We've written 400 articles about these types of things, 4 books. We have a store, an online store, where you can get any of our materials. We're the best love coaches on the planet today.
Okay.
So what we do is we heal relationships. So if you are in a relationship that is struggling and going through ego issues, then you can simply call us and we can bring spirit back to your relationship.
Well, I would say, even, you know, there's some things I do not agree with, but I can say that I appreciate you. I appreciate you.
Absolutely.
And I appreciate your husband, because, you know, this is what I tell people all the time, that everybody has their own perspective. Everybody has their own perspective, and there's a whole lot don't even understand what you just said when you started reminiscing back on what happened in Kemet. That went over some people's head, I guarantee you that. But even so, you know, would you have, with your passion, you're actually taking your passion and you're helping other people with it. Whether we agree with it or not, at least you are doing something. So that's what I respect you and I commend you and your husband both, for at least, because a lot of people talk about stuff, they talk about things that they don't like what's happening or they want to change stuff, but all they do is talk about it. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
But when someone gets, especially one of us, when we get out there and do it, then it is what it is. I'm going to go and do some research, because that's what, you know, Zariah Speaks
Start
is all about.
Start with the book Sex at Dawn, if you'd like to see the studies of what sex was like prehistoric, you know, pre 10,000 years ago. Read the book Sex at Dawn, S-E-X at Dawn. And I'll just say one more thing before we go.
Okay.
There was an illness called hysteria, and women were being diagnosed with this, European women. And the idea was that she would go into the office and the doctor would essentially jack her off using her clitoris in order to heal her of hysteria. Eventually, the doctors got tired of jacking women off in the doctor's office. This was from 1700s to 1920. Finally, in 1920, something was invented. It's called the vibrator. Today, 75% of married women, 80% of women in general, have a vibrator. The reason for that is because women need sex. We need sex double what a man needs. We have double the nerve endings in our clitoris and in our vaginal area. And without sex, we have to get into these electronic devices and so forth, holding ourselves back, talking about one man. I'd like you to read Sex at Dawn. Start there. And you will really, really, really see the nations of people who did this, from Native America to South America to Africa to original Australia.
I appreciate you coming on, and tell your husband I said thank you so much, and I'm sure we'll be talking again, sis. And again, give your web address real quick before we go.
Jujumama, JUJUMAMA.com. You can check
it out. All right. Okay. Thank you so much, and thank you, my co-host, Brother Dawa. Thank you so much, and we'll join you again next week right here on, where are we at? BBS Radio. We are at Dynasty 1382. That's our little name for our little radio. But please join us again here next week at 4 o'clock p.m. Mountain Standard Time for Zariah Speaks with your host, Queen T, and Brother Dawa Yisrael. One love to you.
Yeah. Wake up! trouble.